mightily works within me. I love what Paul said here. He says that, and we're to proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom. We present everyone complete in Christ. So admonishing and teaching in wisdom, that means that there's language that you use that impacts everybody different. There's teaching, there's admonishing, there's encouraging, there's challenging. And so part of my assignment is to encourage you, to teach you, to challenge you, to keep advancing in the pursuit of a life that fulfills your calling, and that calling is Christlikeness. Because you're in him, he's not just the standard by which we measure everything. He himself is the source of everything that is the standard of our Christian life. And so for all of us, we have that same calling to Christlikeness. So I was telling the clergy of North Carolina that I love theology. The word theology comes from two words. It just means a word about God. But my theology that I love is practical theology about how to walk life out, how to walk this Christian life out. And so that comes from my own personal experience, my own personal burden, that this isn't just my assignment because this is what God's told me to do. It's because it's what his calling is in my own personal life. And so as I walked out of the mental illness all those decades ago, there's just been this running after, pursuing the experience of what it means to abide in Christ, to manifest the fullness of Christ in an ever-increasing way. And I realized on the trip up there, because I was in my hotel room some, that I don't know, man, I don't know how many laps I have left around the block. I'm 70. I could live to be 95. I don't know, but there are some people that I know who didn't live to be much more than 70 or who less than that. And so I'm closer to that than I was. And though I'm not, I've said this before, that I don't have time to be in a hurry because you make a lot of mistakes in the Lord that way. You miss a lot of things. But I also don't have time to not have a sense of urgency. And so in the context of knowing that I don't know how many laps around the block I have left, I thought about things like, how many things am I going to go through in this life that are difficult, where I'll have an opportunity to praise him and love him. We've talked about this before. I'll never get to do that in heaven. Once I die and I step into that part of eternity that lasts forever, there'll be no pain. There'll be no sorrow. So I'll never have another chance other than here to love him in ways I can't love him there, in the midst of pain and in the midst of sorrow. I'll never have a chance to trust him there because there is no exercising faith in him there. The only chance we're ever going to have to trust him is here. And so in light of the fact that I may only have a few laps to go, however many laps that is, I don't want to miss any opportunity to trust him because once I give up this body, I'll have had my last shot at that. I'll never have another chance to pray for the sick there, to explore how far can we go in praying for the sick and how much can we close the gap between our experience and a Christ-like example biblically and that kind of thing. I'll never be able to love people who are difficult to love there, or to have compassion for the broken there. I mean, there's just so many things when we think about it that this is the only place we're going to have a shot at it. And in some ways, the Christian life that we walk out now, there are some things we get to do now. We have opportunities to do now that we never will then. And that may not prod your heart. It certainly has mine. There's a place in 1 Corinthians that I want to read. Really familiar. We've read it before. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I think I'm finding the right chapter. No, sorry. Right chapter, but wrong book. I was thinking about the fact that in light of what I just said, I want to be as obedient as I possibly can in the time that I have left. But when I think about that, I realize that my heart wants more than that. That's not enough for me. So this is a word to encourage you, to also challenge you, to say, is this where we are? I'm inviting you to join this. So hear what I just said again. I want, when I think about it in terms of my walk with the Lord, and I think this was provoked even with some of the music worship, I thought, I want to be as obedient as I possibly can. But then I found that my heart said, no, my heart goes, no, my heart wants more than that. And you say, well, what do you mean? How can you have more than that? Remember the song from Misty Edwards that one of the choruses goes, Lord, how far will you let me go? How surrendered would you let me be? So I kind of find myself in that place going, Lord, how far will you let me go? How surrendered will you let me be? I want to go as far as I can. And then having said that, thinking that I would be so satisfied with that, that's where I want to be, I realized that my heart wanted more. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. As I mentioned some weeks ago, or maybe a couple months ago, the scripture doesn't say we're taking every thought captive to be obedient for Christ. We're to bring every thought captive into the obedience of Christ. And I realize that where my heart really wants to go, if it's true, if the gospel really is as big as this statement declares that it is, that you and I have been woven into the fabric of Jesus' existence, then I want to go as far as his obedience is. I don't want to go as far as I can be obedient. I want to go farther than that. That's really where my heart is. I want to embrace his obedience. I don't want to try to copy his obedience. I actually want to say yes to his obedience. Now that sounds satisfying. That sounds like it's right. That the Christian life is bigger than just my individual offering to him, my individual relationship with him. I've been included into Jesus' relationship with him, the Father. And I get to participate in that. And that takes me much farther. And so to answer the question, if I ever see Misty Edwards, I would say, Miss, who's my favorite worship leader in history, I would say to her, how far will he let you go? How surrendered will he let you be? He will let you say yes to the surrendered heart of Jesus. that you actually can participate in the obedience of Christ. And you can't go any farther in obedience than that. Now understand that when you say that, there is this place of exhilaration that says to me, wow, that is going to be the most amazing ride. But it also, to my flesh, there's like these check, 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 check. Because I won't have any more excuses. But I don't want any more excuses. I don't get to be in control. I don't get a vote. I don't. But that should be that way. I mean, it's a deeper thing. It's a bigger thing. It's a more dangerous thing, but a more exciting thing. Let me give you a little clue into that. This is Philippians. All of y'all know how to remember where Galatians is at, and Ephesians, and Philippians, Colossians. Those are like the four famous Pauline epistles. He wrote others, but the most famous. So you always remember General Electric Power Company. It's in that order, okay? I learned that a long time ago. See, when you get old, you start thinking about things you learned a long time ago. This is Philippians 2. If there is any encouragement in Christ, and if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another more important than themselves. And do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross. That's how far his obedience goes. And that's what I want. That is where my heart wants to be. That's what I want to be included in on. And because he's my life, because I've been grafted into his existence, then his obedient heart is there, it's mine. And all along, he intended for me not to be as obedient as I can be for him. He always intended that I would say yes to his obedience and walk out in union with his obedient heart, who always, always did that which was pleasing to the Father. It's John chapter 21. Real familiar passage. So this is when the Lord reaffirms Peter's calling, and Peter had royally blown it. His next to Judas, his failure was the most public and the most famous in church history. He denied the Lord three times. Yet having said several times in front of Jesus and all the other disciples that these guys may betray you, but I will never betray you. As a matter of fact, I'll go to jail before I'd ever betray you. As a matter of fact, I will die. And he says, unlike these guys. And yet, he was the first one. And he did it royally. And yet, grace never let go of him. Remember when the Lord called him? They were fishing, and Peter was the expert fisherman. Jesus was a carpenter. He was a casual fisherman. And Peter and the others who were professional fishermen had been fishing all night long, and they caught nothing. And then finally the amateur says, well, why don't you cast your net to the other side? And they argued with him. Lord, we've been fishing all night long. Basically, they're saying, work on some woodwork somewhere. We're the fishermen. Like, put together a rector set or something. But they did it because they wanted to honor him, and they caught so much fish that it couldn't haul the net in. It almost sunk the boat. And at that point, they fell before him and worshiped him. And Peter said, depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. When I read that scripture, I get tickled because Jesus always communicated that which the Father was saying and always did those things the Father was doing. And I'm sure he heard the Father speak in his heart go, duh. Like, that's news. If I was going to depart from you because you're a sinful man, I'd have never had you in the boat in the first place. And then he referred to his nickname, Simon Barjona. Sort of word of affection. And he said, I will make you fisher of men. Not only am I not going to turn on you, but I'm going to make you a fisher of men. I know that you have the capacity to fail. And you don't have to be afraid, because grace will never run from you. Grace will always run towards you and after you. So he blew it really bad. And like the rest of us, he's now hounded with guilt and shame, thinking that it's done. God can never use him again like he could have. Plan A is done, over. And have you ever experienced that before? I mean, it was a public shame. It was a public failure. And he was the leader of the band. And so they're all in this boat fishing again. And there's this guy on the shore, and they don't recognize him. And he's like building a fire. And they're not catching fish again. And so this guy yells to him, says, look, why don't you cast the net to the other side? Sounded pretty familiar. John was in the boat. Peter was in the boat. John, the one who already was set free because he knew he was the disciple whom Jesus was always loving. Now Peter, thinking he had blown it royally and that there was separation between him and Christ and he could never be used again because how he had failed. They cast the net and they catch the fish. And John looks at Peter and says, it's the Lord. Because he knew the heartbeat of Christ. He put his head on the breast of Jesus. So abide on the breast of Jesus that you're able to look at other people who have blown it, who are condemned and in shame, and the enemy's convinced them that they're done, and be able to say to them, no, it's the Lord. The Lord's come after you. And so Peter strips off all of his clothes, being the dignified Presbyterian that he was, and jumped into the ocean and swam to the shore, jumped in the sea, and they had fellowship. And so Jesus begins to speak to him, and he says to him, after breakfast, Jesus came and took bread and gave them some fish likewise. Now this is the third time Jesus was manifested to the disciples, after he was raised from the dead. And when they had finished breakfast, Jesus says to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And this is real familiar to you, but just a reminder. He says, do you love me more than these? And the word that Jesus used here is agape. Do you love me with perfect love more than these? Because that's what you claimed. That's what you said. That even if they were abandoned you, you'd never abandon me, even if it was jail or death. And Peter answered and said, yes, Lord, you know I phileo you. I love you, but it's not perfect love. And Jesus said to him, well, then tend my lambs. What? Don't you have to have perfect love? He said, tend my lambs. And he said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me with perfect love? And he said to him, Lord, yes, you know that I love you with imperfect love. He said, shepherd my sheep. And he said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me with imperfect love? And Peter was grieved because he had to say it a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things about me. And you know that I love you. And you know it's an imperfect love. And Jesus said, tend my sheep. And then he says this to him about a life of obedience. Truly, truly, I say to you that when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else making the choices for you, someone else will gird you and bring you to where you do not wish to go. Now this he said, signifying what kind of death, that he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, now follow me. See, that's the kind of obedience. Jesus said, follow me. Peter was crucified upside down, of course. But Jesus is speaking more than just that. He's saying, when you're young in the Lord, you kind of can do what you want to do, sort of, kind of, not really. But kind of, sort of, you just do stuff. But when you mature, you're going to find that somebody else girds you and takes you places that for your flesh may not want to go. And that's a sign of maturity. And I believe that God is saying that to us. I know that God is saying that to me. He's saying, you can go farther than being just as obedient as you can be. You can follow me. You can say yes to my obedience and no longer be in control at all of where you're led and where you go. For someone else will gird you, bind you. Now, I love what Peter said. He turned around and he saw the disciple whom Jesus always loved following them. And he had leaned back, his breast at supper, and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? And Peter says to him, Lord Jesus, what about this guy? And Jesus said to him, don't we do that all the time? It's a thief if you're going to live a life in union with the obedient heart of Christ. If you compare yourselves to others and you go, why do they get to do this? And why do they get to do that? And why do they have this? And I don't have this. Jesus said to him, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? Remember the horse and his boy? It's not your story. I'm telling you your story. And he said, follow me. So you can't look to the right or the left and try to compare. You can't count. You can't measure. That's still living under the law. You just have said, yes, I want to go as far as you go. I'm not trying to be as obedient as you. I'm actually saying yes to your obedience, letting you take me as far as you want to go. take me wherever you go. So back to the thing we shared last week, when Jesus said in John chapter 14, he says, where I am, I've come back to receive you, to be a place in union with me, that where I am, you may be also. That's really the heart of it, isn't it? Lord, if I want to experience the fullest measure of a conscious life of your presence and Christ-likeness, where you are is where I want to be also. Where you are in obedience is where I want to be. I only have a few laps left, Lord. I want to trust you so much that I actually want to embrace your life of faith and yoke myself. I've been yoked to you, and I want to say yes, being yoked to how much you believe, what you're prepared to believe for. In Colossians, Paul said, the Holy Spirit through Paul says, forgiving each other just as Christ also forgave you. Another place he says, loving one another just as Jesus loved you. Lord Jesus, I want to go as far as I can go in loving people. No, I really don't. I want to go farther than that. I want to go where you go in loving people. I want to join you in that. That's the ride you invite me to. That's the existence that you live in. I don't want to forgive as more than I do. I don't want to walk in more forgiveness. I want to walk in the forgiveness that you walk in. I don't want to imitate your forgiveness. I actually want to participate in that. I want to participate in your compassion. I don't want to care as much as I can care. I want to care as much as you care. I want to leave behind as much as you leave behind. I want to go as far as you go. Because it's not about just my individual walk with the Lord. It's my participation in His walk with the Father. And it's just during worship. Worship team is so anointed this morning. They're always anointed, aren't they? We're so blessed. They were just so anointed, and it just provoked my heart. I was thinking that, God, Lord, I want to be so obedient. I want to be as obedient as I can be because I won't get to do that. There'll be a time, not too distant future, where I will close my eyes, and I will see you face to face, and I'll never be able to choose to obey you again. So I want to go as far as I can go in obedience. And then I realized my heart wasn't content with that. And the Lord said, why don't you join me and go as far as I go? We are in this together, Chuck. Are you in this together with me? Because where I am, I want you to be also. Where I am in love, I want you to be. Where I am in forgiveness, I want you to be. Where I am in wisdom, I want you to be. Where I am in obedience, I want you to be. Where I am in faith, I want you to be. That's his dream. That's the devil's nightmare. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.